Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I, too, have not been missing from the Senate for the last 2 to 3 months, or at least I think I haven't.
Don't do that. look, we're going to talk about it. We got to do Dianne Feinstein better than this. Like, she don't deserve this. This ain't right.
She's got to do herself better than this, but we'll get there.
No. I when I say we, I don't actually mean us. I mean the senators. I mean the senators who said there's nothing wrong with her and defended her and were like, no, it's fine. Everything is fine. You're beating up on her. It's not fine, and you're not helping her. You're making her legacy look terrible, and it's not fucking okay. Let her go. It's okay. Look, respectfully, you got to get the fuck out of here. You do. And it's worse.
You know what? Let's pull an executive decision. And since we're already on the topic, let's just bump it up.
All right.
Let's bump it up and talk about it. Look, it's the thing that I'm easily the angriest about this week. Because, Yeah. Because she's back, right? So, like, Dianne Feinstein, she's back in the Senate after a 2 to 3 month absence. And it was written in Slate that, like, they did, like, an impromptu interview with her in the hallway. And, you know, they're like, oh, like, how's it feel to be back? And she was like, I haven't been gone. She's like, you know, you should follow me. I haven't been gone. I've been working. And they're like, oh, you mean,
no,
like,
no.
You've
she
been
said,
working
I've been
home.
Voting.
She's like, no. Yes. Which, sorry. I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, I cannot imagine. Just a worse, you know, like that's that fucking hits the nail on the head completely. You know, she's in there in a wheelchair, which, you know, is understandable. She has shingles, but she looks like the fucking, you know, Walking Dead right now, essentially. Not great. And then there's stories about her staff has really been running the show for the last several years. They always have a person in the office that's on call. They have like a rotation so that she doesn't wander around the Capitol by herself, lest she get into a fucking conversation with a reporter that kind of just lays bare where her mental faculties are right now. And this is fucking embarrassing. And this is the kind of shit that people fucking hate when they talk about how much they hate Washington, because you have this person who is, you know, being given bad advice. At this point, I'm not blaming her as much because obviously, like, she's not completely with it at this point. Like,
yeah,
like she has a lot of people.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. She deserves better than this.
Yes, I agree. But what I also don't need is I don't need the other folks in Congress circling the wagons because everyone's afraid. Well, if it can happen to her, it can happen to us. Like, you got fucking Nancy Pelosi out here tentatively endorsing Adam Schiff for Senate on the condition that Dianne Feinstein is not running for re-election for another 6-year term at the age of 91. And if she decides to run again for another 6-year term at the age of 91, then Nancy Pelosi is going to endorse Dianne Feinstein.
That's insane.
To retain her seat. Just like, what are y'all
like
doing?
Someone in their 90s. In their 90s. Right. By the way, juxtapose that with the ever-creeping retirement age, right, in this country for benefits.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, what is it, 68, 69 now, right? Like, it was 60.
I think it's 68, yeah.
Right, because it used to be, like, back when I was a lot younger, it was 64, then it was 65, and then it's fucking, they, like, get these old people back to Walmart as greeters, like, right? Like, so it's been getting more fucked up over time. What drives me crazy is you think that you're helping her. You think that you're defending her honor and stuff like that, and I get it. That's, like, a level of, like, Democratic white knighting, right? Like, you don't want to feel like you're beating up on an elderly person. I understand that. But you're actually doing damage to her. You're doing damage to her legacy. She's 89. She's tired. Mm-hmm. She is not, you know, capable of doing the work. She does not have all of her mental faculties. It's okay to say that without being a dick about it.
It is.
It is.
It really fucking is.
And look. If you want me to be a dick about it, you can say that. She ain't gonna remember it. Like, if you want to be an asshole, like, she's not. I'm just kidding. I'm just being an asshole. But
and underscored like this, by
but
this,
but it's fucked up. It's just fucked up. It doesn't help her legacy at all. It's wrong.
Underscoring this is she is one of the two senators that represents the biggest, most populist state or most populous state in the country. Right. And she was just on the sidelines for 3 fucking months. That is not good. And yeah, I get it. She's back now. She's voting. Judicial nominees are passing through now that she's here. But when's the next one going to happen? When's the next unforeseen extended absence
right
on deck?
Look, I got to tell you, and this may seem like a silly scenario, but it really isn't. Okay, her staff is like doing all this work or whatever. One, not an excuse. But she still has to hit the button to vote. What if on a really important fucking bill, she hits the wrong button because she's not of sound mind. And that fucks up and it goes to the Republicans, right? Because like sometimes people will vote incorrectly. They'll hit the wrong button and they'll immediately be like, hey, man, I didn't mean to do that. And they'll be like, OK, no problem. Mm-hmm. We'll change it. Right. Like it's not like chess. Like, oh, you took your hand off the piece. Like, you're fucked. Like, it's not like that.
Right.
But it's understandable. But if she thinks that she did the right thing, you think Republicans on something that's like a major like gun legislation or something, you think they're going to be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. No way, dude. They're going to be like, absolutely not. And they're going to challenge it and it's going to be a thing. That's not that crazy of a scenario again, to possibly happen.
It's a complete dereliction of duty.
It is.
By her staff, by the folks around her in Congress. Like it's... frankly, it's unconscionable that they're allowing her to be able to stay in that position. And again, it's fucking California. You're gonna get a Democratic governor to appoint a Democratic replacement, and then when you have the election in a couple of years, it's probably going to be held by a Democrat. You don't really have to sweat losing the seat to a Republican.
Right. This isn't like a Kentucky senator that you just got lucky with one time. Like, no, you're fine, right? And not only are you getting a Democrat, you're getting a super, you know, fucking aquamarine blue Democrat who's going to be super liberal. It's either going to be Katie Porter or Adam Schiff. Either one is a win for us. Like, it's fine, right? Like, there's no loss there. In a similar story, I didn't put this on the docket, but I wanted to save this one as a surprise for you because I know how much you hate old people in government.
It's true. no lies detected.
Brad has a tattoo. Like, get the fuck out of the government. It's like weird on his back.
Yeah. I mean, really that's why I can't take people bitching about Joe Biden's age seriously right now. Joe Biden is a young and spry 72 compared to Dianne Feinstein's 89.
Right. Exactly. Like, what's the problem? The guy's still biking, man. Like, he's doing fine.
Right.
Staff for a 95-year-old federal judge says, quote, she is losing it mentally and talking to a dead colleague. She's 95.
Wait, why hasn't she retired? How long has she been on the bench?
I assume 85 years. She's been there since she was 10.
Was she there for the enactment of like fucking Dred Scott? Like, is that her legacy? Is that where she got on?
She was
in
like,
the first place.
She was like, now's my time. So
yeah.
A special federal appeals court says that one of his judges, 95-year-old Pauline Newman, may no longer be mentally fit for the job. Pauline Newman, who has been on the federal circuit appellate court since the 1980s, claimed in a lawsuit filed earlier this month that her fellow judges are trying to push her off the bench. She said that they had made baseless demands that she sit for neurological evaluations. Look, I don't know if this woman is really losing it. I don't know if she's talking to a ghost of somebody she used to work with. I don't know any of that. What I do know is the raw facts. You are 95 years old.
Right.
It's time to fucking retire.
I don't care if you are in fine mental fitness. I don't care if you're in strong physical fitness. At the age of 95, no matter how fucking healthy you are, you're still not you know, you're still not throwing a fastball at that point.
No, your mental faculties.
If you catch my meme.
No, yeah. But your mental faculties diminish over time. That's just.
Yes.
It's just a fact, right? Like it is what it is.
It's how aging works.
Yes. You're never going to be as strong as you once were in your 20s. You're never going to be as smart as you were in your 20s, right? Or as quick, I should say, right? You should definitely be smarter. But you're not as quick. You would hope. But at 95, you are past the moment of like things are rocking up. Everything is going down at this point.
Right.
And look, I understand you have a lifetime appointment, but I would make the argument maybe we shouldn't do that anymore because that's fucking crazy.
I would make the argument that a lifetime appointment doesn't need to be taken literally. Doesn't need to literally mean that you die on the bench.
Well, yes, but these are egomaniacs.
Yes.
Right. Also, yes, it's well, like a job. How hard are you working?
Well, and like I said, on the plus side, at least the silver lining here is at least she's on an appellate court. So she's one of several judges that are ruling
panels. Right.
So like that part is, you know, better than if she were, you know, running a courtroom.
Yes.
All at the ripe young age of 95. So
yeah, there you go, Brad. Two old people to dunk on in one episode. Don't ever say I didn't give you anything.
Dude, just fucking is there not an aspect of your life that you could just go enjoy at this point? Like, is there really nothing worth living for but fucking being on the bench day in and day out?
I mean, that's
a serious question I would have.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little weird, right? Like it is a bit weird that you still want to do that job at 95. You get up every
day. I know there are people out there who live to work, and those people are weird to me. I very much work to live, not the other way around.
Right.
But you know, at some point, you know, you got to come to a crossroads, right? Like it can't just be like, well, this is what I'm going to do until I literally have a heart attack in this fucking chair. Like that's what's going to happen.
Look, this is an American phenomenon, man. Like it just is. Fuck that. Like, look, if I could retire tomorrow,
this country's fucking incentives for its citizens are so fucking backwards.
Yeah,
it blows my mind. You mentioned the retirement age, like how it's kind of creeped up over the years. Like fucking give us the fucking wherewithal of a France who they're like, hey, the retirement age is 62. We want to raise it to 64. And these motherfuckers are out in the street protesting like it's a neo-revolution.
We need France. To burn the entire country to the ground. Like, I mean, maybe not. They're like, no, this is how much. But that's how seriously they take their, like, when people look at the
freedoms.
Right. Yeah. But not even just freedom.
Their freedom to have live, a life outside
to
of
live.
Work. Yes.
Right. Like, they quite literally are like, no, you don't get to force us to stay in the doldrums of work forever. We've had enough. I've worked since I was, let's say, 18 or 16, all the way through my 60s. That's enough.
And that is how it's supposed to work, by the way. Like you're supposed to work hard and make your contribution to society for a couple decades, and then you're supposed to get to chill and relax and go do what you want to do.
Right. Ideally. And hopefully if you play your cards right, you get to retire a hell of a lot earlier than 65 or 68, right? And then you can hopefully make enough money and have enough investments or whatever, however people make their money, and hopefully live off that and live well, right? You don't have to live like fancy, but live well, right? A comfortable life. But no, Americans have been snowballed into this belief that you have to grind yourself to a fine point and then you die. Oh,
we're all grist for the bill of capitalism. So
right, like we all work until we're well into our late 60s or 70s, right? Some people into their fucking 80s, which is insane. And then it's like, oh, you get to retire at 75, Joe. And then you retire and you get to go to one place for 5 years, and you go, oh, the weather's nice here. And then you fucking die. Wow, what a life! It's amazing. That sounds great. But you don't get to enjoy any of your life while you're still young and fit and can like move around, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I think these people are insane to still want to work at 95. I think that's nuts. But no, they shouldn't. Look, senators, there should be term limits. There should be. And look, if you don't want, if you want to say no term limits, okay, there's an age limit then.
I'm about to say no term limits, but an age limit. Trust me, I don't want a 3-term senatorial limit if someone gets their first seat at the age of 70. No, thank you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I'm fine with leaving it no term limits. You can stay as long as you keep convincing people to vote for you, but there is an age limit. Because I look at it from a technology standpoint too.
Oh no, that's one of my biggest things too.
Is like
that,
you don't understand what the fuck the world is at that point. You're 70
and years old. We're about to be like in the coming years, like we're going to be seeing regulation and legislation passed concerning like cryptocurrency, artificial AI, intelligence, right. Yeah, you know, and shit like that. The last thing I need is for a fucking 80-year-old who doesn't know how to fucking check their email on their iPhone to be in right. charge of, you know, or have a say in crafting that legislation. I know they have people on their staff that actually,
but still, you know, I don't trust them. For them. I don't trust them.
No,
because at the end of the day, you can be presented with a whole lot of information, and you can easily be snowballed by a certain lobbying group because you don't understand fundamentals of technology. Like,
what was I cannot wait. Like, mark my words, the day whenever the first like AI tech executive gets in front of Congress, taking off of work that day. my eyes are going to be fucking glued to C-SPAN because it is going to be
a shit show.
Glorious in how fucking ridiculous it is.
Can you tell me, does TikTok connect to a wireless router in my home? What? Like, that was a question a Republican asked the CEO of TikTok. He was like,
how do we know once we build this technology that the machines aren't going to become self-aware and rise up and eradicate humanity like in that Terminator movie?
Documentary. Yeah. Will we have
and are we working on a cybernetic organism to be able to combat them, to go back in time and combat the machines from the point of origin?
Yes, like, or no. Yes or no. Also, why does that guy always show up with no pants? That's what I want to know.
The clothes can't make it through the space-time continuum.
Oh, well, clearly. Obviously. I mean, it just makes sense. Or they just wanted to show Arnold.
Only organic matter.
Yes, right.
I mean, they did it for Michael Bay too, so, you know.
God damn it. It is true. So yeah, look, I need age limits. Like, it's this idea, this old school idea, and ironically, this very old school idea of lifetime appointments on the Supreme Court or for federal judges, this needs to die. It needs to die. It is ridiculous. This is 2023. These people are living way too long. People died at like 35 back then.
When they were like, hey, let's have lifetime appointments. Like, you're right. The average fucking age of living was like in your mid-60s at best. So yeah, like,
if you were rich.
Right. Like, so like, all right, cool. If we do lifetime appointments, like they won't make it past the age of 60 and this will be fine. But like you said, you know, advancements in medicine and technology has made it so that people can live much, much longer than anyone. It's the same discussion with the guns, right?
Yeah,
like, do we think that the founding fathers would have actually, like, if they'd seen the kind of weaponry that exists today, if they would have been like, no, yeah, it's cool for everyone to have this. Not that they said that in the first place, by the way. Again, read the Second Amendment and don't just fucking, you know, assume that all guns are cool. But you can't assume they would have been okay with it.
No, of course not. And that's the ridiculousness of it. So these are things that need to fundamentally change. Look, I'm not a huge fan of this guy, but he does have a joke about it, which I thought was pretty good. Joe Rogan, right? He has a joke about, like, if Thomas Jefferson came back, if you could resurrect Thomas Jefferson and bring him into the modern age, the first thing he would do is go, "You didn't write any new shit?" Like, dude, I wrote that with a feather. Like, what the fuck are you doing? But that's true.
We put an amendment process in here for you to change shit as society evolved. Like, oh no, we thought you just wanted to, you know, like fucking Neil Gorsuch should be there. Like, no, I thought you wanted us to keep it the same the whole time. Like, no, you fucking dummy.
That's why we we
wrote this 250 years ago, you dumb shit.
I wrote that shit with a feather. What the fuck are you talking about? And it's absolutely
You guys have flying metal tubes that can fucking travel across the sky. Like we couldn't even conceive of that.
Right, exactly. We were too busy getting drunk and having sex with French hookers. Like, okay, like this is who we were. Okay. Do something different. Figure it out.
Then he'd look over at Dianne Feinstein. She's like, why do you have a corpse sitting in Senate? Like, no, she's alive. She's 89 years old. And he'd be like, 89? Yeah. And then he'd have a heart attack and die.
Numbers got that high. Holy shit. We only had 60 back then. She needs to go. I know. Look, again, stop circling the wagons to protect her. Just, dude, somebody counsel her out. Like, just... You gotta go. You gotta go.
And again, like you see, like Republicans, you would think that they'd be like, no, like I can't believe you're gonna let someone. But no, they're just as afraid for the same reasons, because they know that if they go after her, then you'd be leaning over them, and be like, you know, y'all have 91-year-old Chuck Grassley, like he's right over there, right?
Yeah. He's bad at tweeting. He's bad at it, like real bad. He's gotta go. Next up, Rudy Giuliani is exactly who we knew he was. Rudy Giuliani is being sued this week.
God, every time I think he's hit rock bottom, he's just like, no, I've got a jackhammer that I can just fucking drill into the Earth's core and just get even deeper.
He's like, there is no bottom to this barrel, man. He is gross. A woman named Noelle Dunphy, who worked for him, is suing him for $10 million in damages and unpaid wages. She claims that the former New York mayor subjected her to wide-ranging sexual assault and harassment. She also claimed that he went on, quote, alcohol-drenched rants that included sexist, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks and made her work environment unbearable. Look, I'm going to ask one question, and I think it is a question that everybody should ask before getting into this. Why on earth would you work for Rudy Giuliani, and why would you continue to work for Rudy Giuliani? That I do not understand. Not blaming this woman, not saying what she's saying is bullshit. I'm just saying, did you think all the stuff you saw on television was fake? Mm-hmm. This dude is a scumbag. Like, he is a horrible, horrible person, right? So that's my first question. The second one is, it's not a question, but yuck. Like, there's just a general yuck.
So this is what happens, right? Like this is kind of the political equivalent of getting high on your own supply, right? Because like Giuliani is like this dude who rose to incredible fame, you know, because he was the mayor of New York during one of the most, you know, one of the most horrific events that could happen to the city. And he was, you know, America's mayor and all this other bullshit. And he fucking bought into that fucking press. And this is the kind of behavior you get from people that do that shit because they think that they become untouchable.
That is correct. That is correct. So often, Brad, you have said on this show, I was thinking about this today, that Rudy Giuliani is he the best example of us getting someone completely wrong, right? And I thought about that a lot. And one, there's only one person who's worse, and that's Bill Cosby. But outside of that,
I don't know, man. I don't know, because at least Bill Cosby. Like he's out of the game now at this point. Like, right? Like, he's not going to be fucking, you know, passing quaaludes onto people and fucking roofing women and having sex with them.
Right. No, like, but I'm just
Giuliani,
saying,
like, Giuliani continues to fucking, yeah, he fucking keeps on digging.
He's still a current menace. No, but just that Cosby went from literally America's dad to like the worst situation, right? And good for him. I wish he just rotted in jail and died. But unfortunately, he's out. And the planning on touring, which is a wild thing to say. Who's going to that show? But Giuliani, like, I think you're right in that he is one of the worst people, like, that people got wrong. But I'd put a stipulation on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst person white people got wrong. Because black and brown people in New York have hated Rudy Giuliani since forever, right? They always said that this guy was the biggest piece of shit, and people outside of New York were like, I don't know, man. Times Square is pretty safe now. Everything's fine. They're like, yeah, because cops under his, you know, under his watchful eye were nightsticking the shit out of homeless people and you know, making, you know, to make it a nice, safe place for white tourists. So
like I said, my claim in that is just working off of basic broad public perception.
No. Perspective, yeah. You're 100% right. No, you're 100% right. Yes. But I'm just saying, once again, black and brown people on the forefront of realizing that Rudy Giuliani is a real piece of shit. and they went for it. My people have done it yet again. We don't miss. So, yeah, look, the sexual parts of this are bad. He forced her to have sex with him. From the articles, it's kind of hard to tell, like, whether he forced her to just have oral sex or, like, actual, like, intercourse. I don't know. Equally bad, in my opinion, because he forced her to do these things. I think through, like, a method of, like, kind of, like, coercion and, you know, just general scumbag shit. I don't think, like, the reason why I'm making that, like, nuanced kind of statement is I don't think it was, like, holding her down type of – I don't think it was, like, a rape kind of thing. But just, like, a power and influence sort of forcement, which is fucking horrible. I don't mean to downplay that at all. Yeah, he had these alcohol-drenched rants. Apparently, he drank morning, noon, and night, according to her.
Well, I mean, are you surprised? Like, I could have told you that without knowing this lawsuit. Yeah,
I didn't need this article to tell me that at all. I've seen him on television. The 70-page complaint said, quote, he often demanded oral sex while he took phone calls on speakerphone from high-profile friends and clients, including then-President Trump. And that's one of the things that she alleges very specifically is that he forced her to give him a blowjob while he was on the phone with Trump specifically. Gross.
Gross.
But he said, yeah, Giuliani told Miss Dunphy that he enjoyed engaging in this conduct while on the telephone because it, quote, made him feel like Bill Clinton. It's a hell of a quote, man. That's a hell of a quote. Yeah. Like, that's really awful. He, of course, vehemently and completely denies the allegations in the complaint and plans to thoroughly defend against these allegations. This is pure harassment and an attempt at extortion. Okay. Now, she also says that
he and Trump were selling pardons for $2 million apiece, right, and splitting the proceeds.
Right. This is
which there's no proof that that's true, but you know, seems bad if true.
So here's the thing. It does seem bad, and it is bad. Apparently, Lev Parnas, you remember him. He was a party to hearing that. So her lawyer is like, I was listening to a conversation about it, and her lawyer was saying like, oh, we'll be talking to Lev Parnas soon, right? Since Giuliani sold that dude down the river, can't imagine Lev Parnas is too hard up to defend Rudy Giuliani.
No, now, I would imagine probably not.
Yeah. Now, here's the other part of that. There was a report completely separate of this a number of years ago where I forget who the person was mentioned that they when dealing with Giuliani and they had like they were getting ready to go to jail or something like that. They were told by Giuliani's like right hand man that Rudy Giuliani could, quote, get them a pardon for $2 million. So that's like a tacit corroboration, right? Completely different cases, completely separate. Years later, exactly the same language, the exact same amount of money. And to that, the only thing that I find about that that's surprising is that the cost is that low. To be honest, I'm surprised it's that low. I guess they didn't want the barometry to be in too high.
Mike Flynn doesn't have money like that to be thrown around.
Right.
Come on. Right. Like they got to keep it attainable.
I mean, I feel like Flynn was a freebie, right? Like, he didn't have to pay. He's
probably
he's one of his boys.
Allegedly, he even said, according to this, that that's why they didn't go through the normal pardon process,
right,
of going through DOJ, because that was too fallible. Because obviously, like, the people they were pardoning, like, if they had actually run it through the Department of Justice, the DOJ would have been like, are you fucking crazy? Like, no, like, that's a fucking terrible idea, you idiots.
Well, and so not only did they not go through the Department of Justice, which is also super odd and out of protocol, they also went around the White House counsel,
mm-hmm,
right? So they didn't even want to deal with that. The person who was handling the pardons, drum roll, Jared Kushner.
Of course.
Like, fucking directly. Like, so you talked directly to Jared. I'm sure he was like, check cleared, you're good. So yeah, guess what's coming tomorrow. But it just goes to show you how cheap these guys are to buy. Political corruption is, mm-hmm, not expensive. To buy yourself a pardon if you're like a rich scumbag guy who gets busted for fraud or something, I got $2 million. Like, yeah, let's make it happen. But yeah, that to me is the bombshell, right? Like, it's a big deal, all the, you know, the sexual aspects of it, and gross. But, you know, that all exists, and I hope this woman gets everything, every bit of money she deserves from this, and, like, sue the shit out of this guy. Fuck him. But he's got to answer for that $2 million shit. And apparently, she doesn't have recordings of the $2 million pardon thing, but she's got a ton of recordings of all the sexual stuff. So he,
oh, of course, and apparently text messages and stuff like that. So, oh, fucking Rudy, man.
look, this discovery is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome, because he's just a creep, dude. Like, he's a creep. And look, I want to watch that guy's career burn. Like, I absolutely do.
Like I said last week, man, it is fun to have clowns in the fucking clown show that you can point and laugh at. So,
well, man, there seems to be an unlimited supply.
Well, on one side of the political aisle, for sure.
Yes. So I wrote in on the docket, ha ha ha, with small letters, and then ha 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 ha, because this next part of the Rudy Giuliani story is just it's a cacophony of Schadenfreude, right? Like, it is just like, I can't explain how many fingers are pointing at this dumb idiot and laughing at him. Rudy Giuliani is now also being sued by the guy who worked at the Staten Island ShopRite. Do you remember this, mm-hmm, guy? Who
I do. I remember he was, Rudy Giuliani claimed he had been assaulted, and he got this guy arrested, and, you know, the dude was like, let's go to the videotape. We've got security camera footage. And so Giuliani beforehand had said, like, oh, like, I, like, he hit me so hard, like, I felt like I got hit by a boulder, and, like, it's crazy. And this dude like, literally walks up to Giuliani.
Hold, Brad, hold.
Yeah.
We have the footage.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
Look, I went back and downloaded it.
Fantastic.
Because it's awesome. Here you go.
This is why we are a professional outlet here at LookForward.
Yeah, if I have time. So here you go. Here is a news story about it, but it's quick. Here you go.
Supermarket employee is being charged with assault after allegedly slapping Rudy Giuliani on the back. This incident was caught on camera. Happened at a ShopRite store on Staten Island. Giuliani was there campaigning for his son Andrew, who's running for governor of New York. He says the employee called him an expletive as he made contact. The former New York City mayor was not injured during that incident.
I love that. Yeah. So, like, there is nothing to me that is funnier than the idea of, oh, I died. He said he almost died.
I'll never forget. There is a clip that went around in the wake of this. I can't remember if he was on Newsmax or OAN. He was on one of the two. and they were interviewing about this, and they played the clip. And even the host on Newsmax / OAN was just like, I gotta say, Rudy, it doesn't really look like he hit you all that hard in the video camera. It looks like he just patted you on the back.
It was like,
and Giuliani just like had like fucking nothing to say.
You had to be there. I'm an old man. Right. So, yeah, like, So that dude is suing Rudy Giuliani. And look, I got to tell you, his lawyer had a pretty great statement. Let me see if I can find it. I thought it was pretty fucking funny. He says, Rudy Giuliani's lies have caused incalculable damage to this country, but his lies about Daniel Gill, that's the guy from ShopRite, should cost him about $2 million. And the Staten Island police went along with it. They made sure that Gill spent at least a night in jail. The cops should be careful who they do favors for while wearing body cameras. Yeah, I like it. I love that. Incalculable damage to the country, but for our guy, about $2 million. Get the fuck out of here. And you know what? I'm not mad at that.
No, fuck him.
Yeah, you made that guy's life a living hell, at least for a time, where he was receiving all these like horrible messages and death threats and stuff like that, he says. And also, you lied about that guy performing an act of violence on you and putting that guy in jail overnight. No, fuck that. Yeah. You got to pay for that. Give me my money.
Which was immediately disproven less than 24 hours later.
Because they dropped all charges.
We have the tape. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they dropped the charges. They were like, all right, we're going to put you in jail. And then he looked at her like, all right, man, the fuck out of here. This is ridiculous. Right? But look, I got to tell you, if I met Rudy Giuliani, I wouldn't touch him, but I would absolutely call him a shitbag like that guy did. Frankly, I think he went a little light. I'd be like, you go fuck your mother. Like, I'm trying to make the news. Like, fuck that guy, dude. Rudy Giuliani is a piece of shit. Fuck that dirtbag.
Yeah, go fuck your cousin, Rudy. Oh, wait, you already have twice. So
you married her, you fucking creep. Your first cousin, yo. Your first cousin. I thought you were from New York, not West Virginia. Knock it off. all right, next up, you had this story about the Russian troops.
Yeah, I did. So the Post had an exclusive report here. So, you know, when you have wars, especially in this modern era, you have the forces fighting on either side, but then we've also seen a huge rise in the usage of PMCs or private military corporations. One of the biggest PMCs in the world is the Wagner Group, which is a Russian PMC. And it's been reported that the head of the Wagner Group, whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce, other than like Evgeny is Evgeny. His first name.
Yevgeny Prigozhin.
There you go. Very good.
I worked with a lot of Russians over the years.
Oh, okay. Very good. So reportedly, he got a message to high-ranking Ukrainian military officials that if they withdrew their troops from the area that surrounded the city of Bakhmut, which is where the Wagner Group was primarily concentrated, that he would give Kyiv information on Russian troop positions, which Ukraine could then use to fucking attack them, because this guy was reportedly tired of losing thousands of his mercenaries in this war, that Russian was doing an absolute shit job. And because we've run through all the serious Russian soldiers at this point, all they're getting now is conscripts, basically, to fucking just run into the front lines and get the shit kicked out of them.
And that ain't right either, man, because those people don't want to be there.
No.
Right? Like, but those people are dying and for no fucking reason, too, which is really sad.
Now, the Ukrainians, for the record, did not accept this information because they didn't trust the guy, which, fair enough. Look, I get it. You know, totally understand it. All I'm going to say to Yevgeny Prigozhin is stay away from any high story witness for the next forever. Basically.
Yeah, wouldn't take a bath anywhere, buddy. Oh, look, he took a bath and then threw himself out of a 12-story window and shot himself with a shotgun on the way down twice. Oops, weird suicide.
I'm really wondering how much longer this can truly go on, because again, the Russians have the numbers, but they don't have the skill, and the Ukrainians are just kind of holding serve at this point. When was the last time you heard a report about Russia really making inroads back into Ukraine? Once the Ukrainians took back pretty much all the major areas.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard about the last I've really heard from a sort of a Russian incursion aspect has been Russia bombing certain cities, and I think this Bakhmut was the one. So like that's really it, and outside of that, not much. Not much. So, yeah, I mean, look, if these guys are, if the private military companies are trying to get the fuck out of there and they're tired of getting heavy losses, this has got to be over soon. And it's, and at this point, it's just Putin's ego. It's not a matter of, any sort of like real military,
I don't even think it's like his ego. I think it's necessity for him to stick into this, because what's his next move if he basically withdraws? Because again, according to them, it's not even a war. Like they're literally putting people in prison who publicly call it a war.
Yeah. So they can send them over to the meat grinder. Right. Yeah, I don't know. But I think it is, it behooves us as a society and as world citizens to keep our eye on this, because the second you don't, they'll use something, you know, just shy of nuclear weapons, right? To try to even the playing field, right? Like one thing you're never going to see is Russia just go, "Ah, you got me. We're done." Right. Like there's going to have to be something that they're going to do, because their pride is, it's their pride, and I don't even mean like the country's pride, because the country doesn't really back this, but sort of the military, the high end folks in the military over there, their pride is staked out in showing the world that they're a force not to be fucked with. Now, if you lose to Ukraine, you're a paper tiger around the world, my man. Like you are.
They already seem
like that, right?
Yeah.
But what it says is, do you really want to appear to be a paper tiger near China? I don't think you do. Like not that I think China's going to be like, let's steamroll into Russia or whatever, but it certainly gives China a military advantage. Like, yeah, if shit ever popped off, you'd be easy work, right? Like we know that about you now. And by the way, it takes a long time to retrain a military to recoup the losses that you're getting over here, right, in Ukraine. So you can't just be like, all right, well, we'll just pull back and we got plenty of guys. Like, but you don't.
Yeah.
And so there's the other aspect, which is like, what is the political ramifications at home in Russia? Because if these guys lose, or it is perceived that they have already lost, what does that do to Putin's power? Right. Like,
yeah, that's probably
thinking about.
That would be my concern, is that he would somehow lose power, and because like the country's strength has been so exposed to be not very with everything that's gone on here, like I could easily see them becoming like a pseudo Chinese vassal state to some extent, like being heavily dependent from an economic standpoint on China, like necessary economics. So we'll see. Very interesting either way. So,
yeah.
But yeah, just like I said, those fucking mercenaries just, you know, aren't loyal like they used to be. What can you do?
Like if you can't pay a guy to be on your side, like what kind of loyalty is this? What an asshole. This story I think is just high key one of my favorite stories of the week. It just really is.
It's a follow-up from last week, where we talked about how James Comer was like, look,
I'm coming.
We have proof of the Biden family doing stuff that's bad. And people are like, oh, you have proof? And he's like, well, not proof so much as just a really, really big assertion that they did.
Which
and
basically,
maybe you can find some proof.
It's a type of proof. So James Comer, Representative James Comer from the great state of Kentucky, admitted on Sunday that his fellow Republicans lost track of a key witness in the investigation about the Biden crime family. They can't find the whistleblower. Can't find him. And look,
if he ever truly existed, like I'm waiting for James Comer to like release a picture on Twitter of like a tight shot on his face, and he's like, look, like it's me hanging out with my good friend the Biden whistleblower. He's just off camera also laughing and having a great time.
He's from Canada. He's not from around. Look, there's only two obvious explanations as to what has happened here, right? the first one being the most obvious, which is Joe Biden had this informant killed, right? Like, that's obvious. Like, sure, right? Of course, that's what Republicans would say. And the second is that this is not a real thing ever, and there was no whistleblower because they made all this shit up because they are so unbelievably desperate to find a story to hit Biden on, and they can't because they are feckless when it comes to running government. Yeah. But it's probably the first.
Case in point, the White House's spokesperson for oversight, on Twitter, referenced a Chuck Grassley headline that said, or a press release that Chuck Grassley put out saying, "Oh, the Grassley Comer demand FBI record alleging criminal scheme involving then VP Biden." And then literally a couple of hours later, Chuck Grassley's on Fox saying, "Well, I can't really verify whether or not it's really criminal activity. Like, but you know, we're just suggesting that it is." This is so pathetic, man.
It is incredibly pathetic. Look, they always assume that Democrats operate in bad faith. So they operate in worse faith because that is their view of the world. Everyone is cheating, so I might as well cheat too. The difference is when the Democrats bring charges, they have proof. Like, they have legitimate proof.
Oh, and you didn't put it in the docket. You didn't put it in the docket, but this story goes nicely hand in hand with the release of the Durham report, which was going to prove everything about how the FBI engineered a Russian hoax to persecute the Trump campaign, and everything that the Mueller report said was bullshit, and it was all partisan dealings by the FBI, and just nothing.
No,
just absolutely nothing.
No, there. And if anybody was going to find it, it was going to be John Durham. And he was like, not staking my career on this bullshit. No, thanks.
No. And some Republicans were trying to like make it a thing. But I mean, even fucking Steve Bannon was out there in his podcast being like, yeah, this Durham report's got it's fucking bullshit. It's got nothing in it. Like it's a fucking turd.
Yeah.
So.
And again, there isn't any, you can't find anything. Because
there's nothing there.
Right?
Right.
You know, again, juxtapose that with the Mueller report, which you redacted the shit out of and then gave some bullshit public summary that wasn't accurate to the shit that was in it.
Yep. How many convictions came as a result of Mueller report? The Durham report got one conviction. From a guy in the FBI who was accused and pled guilty to misrepresenting statements in an email that he sent. The charge wasn't even discovered by the Durham probe. It was discovered by a different investigation that just happened to tie into the Durham probe. The guy pled guilty to the charge, and his punishment was a couple hours of community service. That is the extent of the record to which John Durham was able to find evidence of wrongdoing in the FBI's conduct in the Russian investigation.
Nailed him. Right? Fucking Elliot Ness over there. Good job. What a goddamn joke. Right? But they couldn't find anything during the Obama administration because there wasn't anything. They can't find it. They are hard-pressed to find something in the Joe Biden administration. There isn't anything. Mm-hmm. Just do your job in governing, dude. Stop trying to find a scandal. We didn't have to try to find a scandal in the Trump administration. They were everywhere, and they were happening.
Yeah, they were served up on silver platters to us.
Right.
Come on.
Like a fucking cheeseburger from McDonald's, right, that you gave to those poor kids from college.
Obama really doesn't get enough credit for being literally the most scandal-free president.
Yeah.
That I can recall.
Zero indictments for 8 fucking years. Zero.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, you know, well, he's just really slick. No one's that slick. Also, that's his entire administration. It's not just him.
Yeah, but that's not just him. That's everyone that worked for him as well.
Right. Like, no, it's because when you, like, the fish rots from the head. When you are a scumbag, you surround yourself with other people who are either scumbags, which is the most likely, or people who are okay with you being a scumbag, which says that their moral center is fucking shady as hell, right? anytime the president's like, yo, I'll split a pardon with you. Give me $1 million. You keep $1 million. What kind of shit is that? Like, that's some shady shit that a guy who has no moral center would do. So, yeah. Look, allegedly. Okay. If you still believe that that's an alleged, I fucking don't. Like, I 100% buy that whole idea. I 100% buy it. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't put it, at least I don't put it past him. I just don't. Like, also, splitting $2 million pardon buys. Again, these are a lot of activities of a guy who doesn't sound like a billionaire to me. Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like a guy who, like, really has money, but doesn't have nearly as much money as he pretends to have.
No.
Billionaires are not trying to scam nickel and diming $1 million here or there. They're going for big paydays, $50, $100 million paydays. They're not going for, ooh, $1 million. Bitch, I got $1 billion. Who cares? So
maybe Rudy just really needed the money. And so he had to convince Trump that there's something in it for him.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Could be. I'm actually surprised that Trump wasn't like, I get 1.5, you get 500. Like, I'm honestly not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it would have worked out. Here's something I am surprised about, but also incredibly leery about. U.S. Supreme Court leaves in place Illinois assault weapons ban. U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday left in place a Democratic-backed ban on assault style rifles and large capacity magazines enacted in Illinois after the deadly mass shooting in Chicago's Highland Park suburb in 2022, handing a setback to gun rights advocates. This is great on the surface. However, I don't trust this Supreme Court. And so I'm looking for what could possibly be their sort of silver lining.
Well, so they just stopped an injunction from taking place. Like, right. That's the only, like, this law will probably find itself in front of them eventually anyway. And I think they were in a position where they had to allow the law to stand, you know, pending future litigation, because the Supreme Court's own position is that laws like this are constitutional. And no problem, because the case that all the conservatives love to point to, where they're like, oh, we can do whatever the fuck we want with guns, is the Heller decision, very famously. And in that decision, in the majority opinion, Antonin Scalia wrote, like, hey, like, while in this specific instance, like, this is the decision that we're making, that should not be construed to say that you should have a right to have any gun that you want to, and states can still legislate around, you know, around gun laws as they see fit, especially as it pertains to, you know, things like this. Because the Heller decision was about a dude wanting to carry a handgun. It was not about, you know, an AR. So, like, probably was like, oh, like, you know, they're like, oh, Heller. Like, yeah. In Heller, they were just like, yeah, like, handguns, cool, let it rock. You got to be able to bear arms. It's the U.S., but states can still be like, no, we're not letting you do assault rifles.
Right. So if you don't have that, then people are going to, the logical extreme response is we need to have bazookas or whatever dumb fucking nonsense.
So I wouldn't read into this any further than they're basically standing on the existing law or the existing interpretation that they ruled on several years ago. Now, when this finds its way in front of the court again, if it does, I mean, because they could easily, like, when, you know, when this gets to them, once this gets past the Ninth Circuit, they could easily take a look at this and be like, ah, we already have precedent for this. It's Heller. We're not even going to hear the case. You know, go kick rocks. It's fine. Or they could hear it and, you know, eventually overturn it, which I could also just as easily see. But fortunately, that won't happen for a couple of years as it makes its way through the federal court system. So.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. I I'm very leery about any of this because a lot.
You're right to be leery. Like I'm not. I'm not saying you shouldn't be leery. I'm just saying I think in this case it's because there's already precedent on the books for this sort of thing. So
yeah, we'll see. And then it'll, the next week it's like, well, okay, here we took a more extreme case, and now everyone can have fucking assault rifles in every state. Who cares? Like, all right, well, that's great. Next up, Paul Gosar, a.k.a. Gosar the Gosarian, is apparently has he has a young man on his staff who believes exactly the same thing he does, but he says the quiet parts loud. Apparently, he has a neo-Nazi working in Congress. The aide to Paul Gosar pledges loyalty to white supremacist Nick Fuentes, who, frankly, is a person who has not experienced the thing that I always advocate, which is getting punched in the face when you're young.
True.
Everybody should get it at least once. Learns, teaches you to not be a habitual line stepper in society.
So I've seen, like I've seen, you know, with clips that are being shared around, I've seen Nick Fuentes speak, and I can't for the life of me figure out why anybody would fucking follow this kid. We've talked about Nick Fuentes on the show before.
I don't know.
He's a fucking loser.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I have to say I guess he has some level of like weird incel confidence. I know that seems like a hypocritical phrase, honestly.
I did just see a clip of him shared around, I think yesterday, where he talked about how he was going to be cool, being a virgin until he was 30, when he was then want to get a 16-year-old girlfriend because he wanted to get, in his words, the milk as fresh as it could be. Essentially, which is a disgusting fucking thing to say, you fucking pedophile, Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, this is being recorded, so I'm just gonna go ahead and not respond in the way that I want to.
I mean, look, we're behind the paywall. You can call Nick Fuentes whatever you fucking want.
I would. If someone said, how do I say this, Nick, in the most Nick, J way I could think to say it, like. Statements like that make me want to grab him by the neck and squeeze until he stops moving. Like, quite literally, I don't like shit like that. I find that type of behavior really repugnant. And look, again, I need people to not be afraid to punch Nazis in the face. Like, I just really need people to stop being like, is it okay? Like, New York Times, like, is this the right thing to do? Yeah, dude. Some people need to get their ass kicked. And so when they wake up, they go, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Like, you need it. You
know? I mean, with Nazis specifically, again, like, you know, they have the lesson of World War II. They didn't obviously read a history book or learn the lesson. So it becomes necessary to continue to teach them the lesson. If Indiana Jones taught us nothing, it's that it is always okay to punch a Nazi in the face. Yeah,
punch that Nazi. Is it okay? Right. Absolutely. Those movies are documentaries, as far as I'm concerned.
There should be a legal exception to punching a Nazi in the face, quite honestly. Don't punch people in the face. Yeah, don't punch people in the face. That's criminal battery. But at the same time, if it's a Nazi, feel free to punch them in the face. We won't charge you. Don't worry about it.
Punch away. Like, it's fine. Like, I imagine me going to court and some judge is like, dude, why did you hit that guy? I'm like, he's a Nazi. I'm like, case dismissed. Get out of here.
Can't argue with you.
Look, don't do it again. Wink. Get out of here. Beat it. So this guy is a prominent follower of neo-Nazi Nick Fuentes. He fucks with Nick Fuentes, and he is an aide to Paul Gosar. I wish I could pretend to be surprised by this.
To be surprised? No. And in fact, like you said, that's probably why he's working for Paul Gosar, because you know, he's like, yeah, like, I fucking love the alt-right. Like, I fucking hate people of color. I love white people. This is the best. And Paul Gosar's like, this is exactly the guy that I need. I can't wait to have you on my team.
this guy's spitting.
Again, just a reminder that Paul Gosar is the dude that every time he runs for re-election literally his entire family films a commercial to be like, don't fucking vote for our brother. He fucking sucks.
Yeah, our brother. Our brother, dude, not our cousin.
Right.
No, we grew up with this guy. He's a fucking dickbag. Fuck him.
Yeah.
You got to listen to people's family, man. If they feel that fucking strongly about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't vote for that guy. Next up, Lauren Boebert is back on the market, Brad. Yuck. Lauren Boebert, who represents Colorado's 3rd congressional district, has filed for divorce from her husband. She's filed from divorce from Jason Boebert, who spells his name ridiculously, I might add. Look, J-A-Y-S-O-N, knock it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, this guy's a pedophile anyway, so whatever. This makes sense.
That's true. Like, I have to imagine the reason she's filing is because, you know, the spark just went out. Like, she's probably going home bitching him, like, you never flash your penis at me like you did when I was 17, and shit like that. Like, the romance is gone.
He's like, I'm doing it to the girls at the local Pick and Save now. What do you want from me? I'm still me. I haven't changed. Yeah, because that's how they met, by the way, if you didn't know that. He showed his dick to a bunch of underage girls at a bowling alley, and Lauren Boebert was one of those girls, and she was like, I'm going to marry that guy. And she did. Right after she failed the GED 3 times. So I only bring this story up for two reasons. Mm-hmm. Both her and Marjorie Taylor Greene both getting divorced, which I think is interesting.
Hilarious.
Right?
Hilarious.
Can you imagine, trademark, having to live with those two psychopaths every night? Did you know about Jewish space lasers and they're coming for our kids? Like, just a bunch of ranting craziness from them every single night when they get home from work.
So
yikes.
So you say that and you're saying it in jest, but I do honestly wonder, like, how much strain those two in particular, but how much strain their public persona
mm-hmm.
puts on a marriage like that, because I'm sure there are people in Colorado or wherever the hell they actually live. I don't know if he moved to DC with her, if he stayed behind in Colorado or whatever, but I'm sure that people around there know who he is and say shit to him all the fucking time. Yeah. And the same was probably true of Marjorie Taylor Greene's husband in Georgia, and say shit to him all the fucking time. And that shit probably fucking wears on you and creates a wedge in your fucking relationship. I mean, again, another example to look at, the whole George and Kellyanne Conway situation, who, you know, they separated a few months ago. Like, yeah, you know, here's politics. Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah. Yeah, their politics had to affect it. It had to.
Has to. So I do legitimately wonder, like, how much strain being like so out there and prominent in the party and being a fucking mouthpiece on TV and being known as a fucking cuckoo bird by normal people, how much strain that puts on your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do have a second part, but before I get to that, The other thing is, like, she put out a statement. Lauren Boebert put out a statement. She was like, I was always faithful in my marriage. And then, like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, so he wasn't then. That's, like, no one asked about whether you guys were faithful in your marriage. And, like, it's a weird thing to lead off with. Like, well, I never fucked anyone else. I'm just saying. I mean, and you're also filing for divorce. Like, okay, so he fucked around. Which is fucked up. Like, that's not cool. But again, I can't imagine being married to either one of those harpies coming home every day.
True.
Good God, please stop talking to me. and look, the other part I bring up, the reason why I have this on the docket, is none of this is our business. It really isn't. And that is, you know, I'm pulling the Sideshow Bob thing. I realize the irony of me, you know, giving this message while being on television. But none of this is our it's one of my favorite moments on that show. But it's none of our business. This is her personal life. And the reason why I say that is not to defend Lauren Boebert. It's to defend all the trans folks and all of the gay folks that they continuously beat up on and insert themselves into their lives. Yeah. You don't want us in your life, and I don't want to be in your life. I don't give a shit that you're getting a divorce. I really don't, right? I can make fun of you because I think you're a reprehensible person, but I really don't want to get into your marriage. Look, Sarah Palin got divorced too. Again, probably the same fucking reasons. But I don't need to get into her life. I don't need to like dig in. Oh, what is the fucking guy with the snow machine? What's he think? And let's fucking ask him and all such. I don't care. But the fact that you insert yourself as a government official into the lives, unnecessarily into the lives of innocent people who are just living their lives, not bothering anybody outside of the people in their direct influence, you don't get to have your privacy then. Fuck you.
Yep.
And that's the reason why I bring it up. But also, but it's mostly that second reason. I mean, look, I know who I am. Okay. Like my maturity only lasts so long.
Right.
You gotta be 300 plus episodes into the show. You gotta be honest with you.
I think we couldn't have been more respectful to Lauren Boebert. It's not like we put this story in the free part of the podcast. You have to pay to hear it. You know, that's like, true. Look at us. Just too.
Oh no,
too
I'm fucking, gonna clip the
too fucking I'm
clip,
gentle.
I'm gonna clip it out. I'm gonna clip it out though. I'm gonna put it out there. Fuck her.
That's good. It's good.
hypocrisy is overrated. Look, this week in stupid. our boy Mike Pillow. As Chris Hayes always calls him. He never calls him Mike Lindell.
I mean, it's right there. It's right there, to be fair to him.
Mike Pillow reveals that he spent $40 million of his own money trying to overturn the election. And he ain't done by damn sight. $40 million? $40 million? Are you fucking kidding me? Mike Lindell announces that he spent $40 million trying to overturn the election and he needs help. He needs my help? Get out of here. So he says he is going to allow
people to buy more pillows, Jay.
I probably need a new
pillow. Let me tell you, it's the only thing that drives me fucking nuts. So, like, I watch a disgusting amount of Columbo on the Cozy Television Network because Columbo's fucking great. But because like
the original Columbo?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay. But because that channel is marketed towards fucking old people, I have to see his dumb face on commercials when I'm watching Columbo trying to hawk some MyPillow bullshit.
Look, it amazes me, man. Like, I just can't believe that he spent $40 million. He is allowing people to buy stock in Lindell TV. Quote, I want every person out there to have a little piece of the pie.
I'm sure you do because you'd like to get this fucking thing off the ground.
Yeah, look, what happened to Frank, right? Frank Talk or whatever, like whatever bullshit he was pushing. Clearly none of that is working. Maybe he's like all conservatives on Twitter. He thinks he's being shadow banned because he's not doing anything anyone gives a fuck about. But yeah, look, I looked this up. I thought to myself, $40 million, that's a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. What does $40 million buy you, right? Like comparatively.
For him personally, I can tell you probably a copious amount of crack cocaine. I don't know exactly how much.
Practically unlimited, value, right? I don't know straight value.
I have Mike, to imagine.
Mike Pillow knows, but I don't know. But here's the thing. So I started to think about, like, what are things that cost around $40 million, right, that are definitely better investments? You know what came out in 1977, Brad? Very famous movie.
Star Wars?
That is correct. It's the only movie that came out in 1977 that anyone remembers.
Famously the only movie that came out that year, yes.
Yeah. It was a weird year. Very weird year. One movie. did incredibly well. That movie cost $11 million. one of the most popular, universally loved movies. No, hold. I know what you're going to say, but that's why $77.
Yes. Did you inflation adjust it? Okay.
I did, in fact. It, by today's standards, it would inflate to $55 million. So roughly a $40 million difference to make Star Wars, right? Yes. Mike Lindell could have made Star Wars, but what did he do? He spent $40 million by flushing it down the toilet. He could have made many great movies that were mid to low budget films that have gone on to do quite well. Quite well. Yeah. He spent 10 times the amount of money that it took to make Moonlight, a Best Picture award winning film. Four or 10 times as much Mike Lindell spent. Amazing. Amazing. Mike Lindell, as I wrote on the docket, has way too much money. Like, he just does.
Stop when we talk about needing to tax the rich.
Yeah.
This is the kind of shit we're pointing to. If Mike Lindell has $40 million to waste on non-existent election fraud, surely he has money to waste to give to the federal government to help us pay for things to actually help this country.
Sure. Look, I'd donate some pillows, man.
Also, how fucked in the head is Mike Lindell to believe this shit so much that he has spent $40 million of his own money to try to disprove something that anyone with functioning neurons in their fucking skull can see is a complete load of shit?
Well, crack will do that.
Yeah. I mean, it will, for sure. To
quote a great man, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I get it, but there's tons of people on the right who will just say shit and not put their money where their mouth is because they're just saying shit to say shit, and deep down they fucking know. Like, yeah, and Trump is one of those guys. Like, Trump says shit all the time, but like, Trump is not going to fucking throw money out there to actually fight this stuff. He will grift it from other people to be like,
100%,
give me money, but he's not going to spend a dime to be like, yeah, he's, because he knows it's full of shit. Mike Lindell's out here drinking the Kool-Aid, being like, oh, like, I know that the election fraud is out there somewhere, and I'm going to find it with all this pillow money. I've hidden all the money under my mattress. I'm going to grab the mat. He kind of sounds like Trump, too. I'm going to grab the mattress and flip it over, and I've got all the $40 million under there so that we can find the election fraud, and I'm going to take it before a judge, and we're going to prove it in court. I've got all this evidence. Here it comes. Like, it's going to be great. That's the other thing. Mike Lindell around every corner has been like, oh, I've got all this evidence in my back pocket. It's coming real soon. And then it never comes. There's like, where's your evidence? He's like, well, this corrupt judge didn't let us present it in court. And it's like, yeah, probably because it's bullshit. No, no, no. Like, they're corrupt. They're part of the deep state. And, you know, blah, 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 blah.
I love that one clip when someone goes, so you've been losing a lot of court cases. He's like, have you ever thought about coming up with a new pillow to smother federal judges? He got so fucking pissed. That shit was hilarious. The guys are the laughing stock, right? Like, he is absolutely nuts.
And I will say, I pat myself on the back because there's a guy that from the moment I saw him when he first started hawking those pillows on TV, I knew. I was like, man, that guy's a fucking weirdo. And he has done nothing but prove me right over the last decade.
That's absolutely true. I mean, the only thing about Mike Pillow that I am forever disappointed in is that he doesn't sound, though he looks like, he doesn't sound like Paul Bearer. Like, that's my only thing. My Pillow. Like, that's what I want. Like, I want that guy to do like a Halloween commercial and just go full. Like, that's what
tap him on the shoulder and be like, Mike Lindell, do you really have evidence that's going to prove that the election was stolen? Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I just imagine Lord. him standing there doing a commercial, and you just see Trump rise out of a coffin like the Undertaker. My candidate for president.
That's right.
Yeah,
campaign was 6 feet under, but he just like, much like Jesus, people are saying, I'm not like Jesus. I've risen from the dead to take control of the Republican primary.
I mean, he kind of did. He kind of did. Ron DeSantis got to figure something out, dude. You getting your ass handed to you, man.
Oh, man, you didn't put it on here, but God, that DeSantis laughing clip just, I can't stop. I can't stop watching it. I can't stop watching it.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
Oh, how much is that car worth? Like, what is the problem, dude?
Remember how we thought like Ted Cruz is we made fun of Ted Cruz for being like someone, you know, trying to impersonate what a human being is like. I have a feeling by the time we get to the end of this primary, DeSantis is going to fucking have Ted Cruz's lunch. And Ted Cruz is going to look like the fucking Marlboro man next to fucking Ron DeSantis.
So cool. Yeah, I think he's already there. That laugh, I was like, ooh, you're not. And look, people forget this, and then we're going to get out of here. People forget this. Charisma, like having like a level of charisma is a big part of being president. And you can hate Trump, and we do. Trust me, but he has charisma. It's like douchey charisma, but he has it. Obama had charisma, like fucking coming out his ears, right? His giant, giant ears. But he's got that fucking swagger. He's got that charisma. Even Biden does in like a weird way. He fucking does. Like, hey man, like stay cool, Jack. Like he's just got that, like he's got like a cool dude kind of charisma, but he has it.
It's literally been since Bush Sr. where we, like, he was the last guy that I would say was an uncharismatic president.
Yeah.
And he only got in because he was Reagan's VP for 8 years.
Reagan
had charisma. Yeah. Like, so did Carter.
Yeah. Carter did too, right? He was more down on the, you know, down on the farm, but he had that honest farm boy charisma. Turns out wasn't really an act. That's who the fuck he is. Right? Like, quite literally. But they all had charisma. And that always, to me, when it comes to policies and all that other stuff, I always consider those things and how they're ranking everything else. But charisma is a thing that will get you over the top. In the Republicans' case, it was the only thing, right? Trump's charisma was the reason solely that he won the primary and got as close as he did to the presidency. And then, of course, he, you know, unfortunately won. But Hillary Clinton lacked charisma.
There really are two, like since the importance of TV since the Kennedy election, there really have only been two non-charismatic presidents that have won an election. And that was Bush Sr. and Nixon.
Two. Ford didn't win, right?
Ford didn't win an election, so I don't count him. But yeah, just those two are the only like non-charismatic dudes we've had be president. Literally everyone else.
Yep.
Charisma. Like
you have to have it. It is a part. Look, America is the cool kid table at lunch, and they don't want to be led by a dork. They just don't. And look, you can say like Barack Obama is a nerd. Like he's a fucking nerd, but he's a nerd with fucking style, right? George W. Bush is kind of a doofus, but he's like the doofus everybody kind of likes, right? He's like the class clown. Right. Like that is a level of charisma. Trump is the popular rich kid, but he's a dick. But like when his parents are out of town, he throws great parties. Right. Like that's the who he is in high school. Right. That's his, you know, his persona. So like Ron DeSantis isn't. He doesn't have charisma, which is why he'll never beat Trump. Right. Because people want to feel like, oh, we voted for the coolest guy. Right. On either side. Look, as much as I love her, like, Warren has charisma.
Hillary did not have, no, she didn't.
Warren is like the nerdy kid in school. Like you're like, oh, you're cool.
Oh, you said, oh, I was saying Hillary. Sorry. I didn't.
Hillary doesn't have any charisma either, but Elizabeth Warren had charisma to people. Like she's a popular nerd to nerds, right? Like I'm a nerd. Like I like Warren a lot, but she didn't have the, as I think about it, she didn't have the charisma to cross over. Like you need someone who can cross over and grab people. Cause quite literally you have to not just be charismatic in your camp. You have to have just enough charisma to pull some people from the other camp too. Right. Mm-hmm. Trump did that. Obama did that. Even Bush did it. Reagan certainly.
Clinton definitely fucking did.
Bill Clinton, hell yes. Bill Clinton,
1,000%. Yeah. Dude,
Bill Clinton was a charisma fucking machine. Holy shit.
Yeah. If you're newer to politics, do yourself a favor and pull up the 1992 election map and stare in fucking with your mouth gaping open at the states that Bill Clinton won. Yeah, because it looks inconceivable by today's standards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, like, that's, you know, obviously this election is most likely coming down to Biden and Trump. But the next one, when you start to see what those fields look like, right, and you see, okay, here's the Democratic team, you know, these are their guys that they're putting up in the primary, and here are the Republicans. Look at who has the charisma. Mm-hmm. There's the people who have wide-reaching charisma, those are the people who are going to end up elevating. And it's going to be out of that one or two people. But if there's like all dorks and one person with charisma, that person's probably going to win. They're primary. They probably will. Yeah. Will they win the general? That's a different question. But like, look, man, why do you think they call the Kennedy administration Camelot, for fuck's sake? Right? Like, even Republicans in their craziness want JFK to be a Republican, like coming back. That's how much charisma fucking matters, dude. That's how much it matters. Like, that social clout matters even decades later on the opposing team. They're like, well, if we can bring anybody back, like, JFK would be cool with us now, right? We're cool, right? Like, that's how fucking crazy that is. So, charisma means a lot. It means a lot. And Ron DeSantis does not
have it. No, he's a
Jeb doesn't have it. Romney didn't have it, especially putting Romney up against Obama. Fuck no. You're like, this guy looks like a TV president, and this guy looks like a president we wish we could get. And then we were like, fuck it, we're electing that guy. Yeah. Right? Like, we got a chance to elect the coolest guy here. And like, that always matters. So like, if you ever want to have a chance in politics, you want to, like, if you're listening to this and letting us influence you, Godspeed, and you want to run for president, the first thing you need to work on is having fucking charisma. And it's magnetic. That's why, what's his face? Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland. Mm-hmm. That motherfucker's got charisma, man. Like, he does. Mm-hmm. I met him and I was like, holy shit. Like, if you meet politicians, you're like, oh, you're as much of a fucking nerd bot or like a dickbag as I thought you were from television. And then there's ones that you meet and you're like, oh shit, like this guy, like, you get it. Like, you get why he can draw people into him. And that guy, he has it. He looks you in the fucking eye. He's got that like military background, shake your hand, and he's got that fucking way about him. And you're like, I do want to vote for you. Like, he fucking has that. And he's got that charisma.
When did you meet Wes Moore?
I met him. This is such a weird fucking story. My daughter was in a, like, at a, like a dance troupe, right? Like a ballet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And she no longer does it. Because she's three. She's like, I don't give a shit about that anymore. I'm done. But that school had a Nutcracker play at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And he had just been elected. Like, he was like governor elect. And he was close friends with the woman who runs it. And he was in the play. Like, that was like a secret. Like, if you've ever seen the Nutcracker, like, there's a family that's in the beginning. Like, it was him and his wife. And I think his daughter or something, like, they came out and, you know, everyone's like, holy shit, it's fucking Wes Moore. Oh my God. Right. Like, and like after the show, he was sitting like right across from us and like, we went up and met him and he was like super fucking cool. But like, he's got a level of charisma, but even doing that, going on stage and being a part of this local version of the Nutcracker, it wasn't like some big fucking production. It was like a small thing. But for him, like, that type of stuff, to be the governor elect, not the mayor, but the governor elect, that type of shit ingratiates people to be like, oh, you're a regular person. And then he's got the smile. He's a good looking dude. Like, that guy's ability to draw people in, that guy could go very far in politics. Very, very far. So look for people who have charisma, man. Like, that's how you can tell. And the dorks, like, you're like, this guy can't convert.
The dorks get to be in the cabinet. That's where the dorks live. Yeah. They live in the cabinet.
They do the work, right? They do the grunt work. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you need charisma to convert people. That's how you can convert somebody who's going, I never voted before. Holy shit, I saw that dude or that woman on TV. I'm voting for them. And look, say what you want. AOC has a lot of charisma. She does.
Mm-hmm.
She does. Now, does she have crossover charisma? That remains to be seen, right? The right.
Probably not as much. Probably
right. But the right, the right is doing, they're doing the Hillary Clinton shit on her. They're painting her as bad from the jump to kill any chance of her getting to the presidency, even in fucking 20 years. So who knows? But I don't know that I've seen a female politician with the level of charisma of like a Barack Obama or a Bill Clinton yet. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm sure it does exist. But you need somebody that people go, damn, yo, she seems fucking cool. Like, that's just what like, I don't know. She's going to, like, do hang gliding or some shit. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is because it's not the same. It's not the same for women. You know, like, if a woman's cool, you're like, you're fucking too cool. And, like, dudes get, like, weirdly, like, offended by it. Like, I could do that. Like, she sucks. She's not as cool as me, right? So the charisma aspect may be a slightly different in women. But it is a thing. It is a thing in politics. So, and Ron DeSantis does not have it.
No, not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
All right. That is it for us. We will be back next week. God knows what's happening.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
Hopefully the debt ceiling might be resolved by then. Cause otherwise, you know, we're headed headlong towards this June 1st.
Let's not say resolved. Let's say raised. I would rather not be just resolved, raised, because resolve could be we ain't doing it.
Like that's right. That's true. That's true. Yes, raised. Correct.
Please, for the love of God, without cutting the entire social safety net like Kevin McCarthy wants, because fuck him. By the way, just a quick note: Democrats are now openly saying Joe Biden ready the 14th Amendment. That's what they're saying. Now. They're not fucking around. And guess what? You should do it. You should. If they get to the end and they're like, we're not doing it, fuck them. Fuck them. Take the consequences later. Don't back down. I would love to see him do it. I really would. And kill this shit, you know, like you said last week, take the bullets out of the gun. End this shit for good.
Yep.
We're done.
I mean, regardless of how this shakes out, I think that should be the next logical step anyway. Even if Republicans raise the ceiling, I want Biden to just be like, you know what? We're not fucking doing this again. Let's just put the kibosh on this right now.
Yeah. We don't need this as a political weapon against them. And they don't deserve to be able to use it against us. Just end it. All right, that is it for us, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.